You are now listening to FMB Radio.
Oh,
I can do it.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks, guys.
You're perfect and beautiful, and everybody likes you a lot.
That's very sweet. And welcome to FMB Radio. My name is Lindsay Collins, and I am your host.
I would like to welcome Nikki Fearman to the show.
Thanks, Linz. If I may, I would like to welcome Philip Michael Cohen.
Thank you, Nikki.
You're welcome.
It's great to be here.
I love you so much.
And it's my honor to welcome Ian Perkayetha to
the
show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
AKA Truffle Boy. Do you just go by Truffle Boy?
Truffle Boy.
Truffle Boy.
I hope I grow out of that name eventually, one day.
You'll be a Truffle Man, okay?
One day.
He's
that's
a Truffle Man,
to.
Everyone. Today's the day. Truffle Man.
Truffle Man, yes.
How old are you? Is that weird to ask?
I am 25.
Oh, okay. So you're a man.
Honey, you're a truffle man. Everybody here is
like
loud
and
clear.
I've graduated into that next
level. You're totally
level.
A man.
I've gone through puberty.
Yeah, you're off your parents' insurance, so that's like 25. That's where
well,
this
that was at like, I think that was at 18. Yeah, or maybe well, before, because they didn't have health insurance.
So okay.
So that was...
There you go. That's good.
Since the beginning,
you can
really?
Rent a car now.
Yeah,
like, that's right. Yeah. That's a big thing.
I always had to pay the young driver premium at Hertz, and now I just blow on through, and the car is waiting. It's great.
Yeah, like fucking for the grown and Hertz-y.
I'm a grown folk.
Yes, you are.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. This is amazing.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is the second time you've been in Charleston purveying truffles and other luxurious luxury items.
Yes. We're actually here for Williams-Sonoma. They're going hard this year at Charleston and doing... are hosting another big event at the Dewberry Hotel late night with a bunch of chefs, and we are catering with all of our delicious wild foraged product. We brought in a 700-pound bluefin.
Jesus Christ.
It was actually caught yesterday in North Carolina. It was actually supposed to be coming from Spain, and so we had actually bought a Spanish farmed bluefin, but it got stuck in Germany. And yesterday morning, I found out that it wasn't going to make it in time, and so... after having
canceled.
A heart attack, yes, I was actually able to procure a fish yesterday from.
Did
North
Mark Mahefka help you?
No one.
No
actually.
One helped you.
It was me by myself in bed with the lights off.
Crying
myself.
Well, listen, that's what a truffle man does. Is he causes solutions, not problems. Okay, so it's, you know, it's Spanish. To get out of here.
Exactly.
Like,
so
we're going regional.
We're gonna. Yeah, it's gonna be local. It's gonna be great. It was just delivered this morning to the Dewberry.
I'm so glad. I mean, how do you feel?
$8,000 later, it was here.
Oh, my God.
Listen, we're some money on fire this weekend.
My God. What kind of a box does that come in?
Coffin. Coffin, yeah. It took 15 people to unload it from the van this morning.
Did someone take a video of that?
They did.
Yeah, of course they did. We live in, it's 2018.
It's going to be great. So we're going to be making bluefin hand rolls. I've brought copious amounts of sea urchins. We have 20 to 30 trays of Hokkaido sea urchin. We've got Perigord black truffles. We've got 10 kilos of golden Lesotra caviar. I've got a Japanese Benchitan charcoal grill set up in the back where we'll be grilling up A5 Miyazaki Wagyu, Iberico pork chowl. We're going to have... a huge seafood tower that I had custom fabricated that's about 6 feet high.
You're nasty.
Four feet in diameter.
What?
We're going to have live 10-pound spiny lobster, rock crab, box crab, dragon crab, king crab.
What the fuck?
Mini crabs. It's going to be
be
a menage a trois on the with crabs.
Wow.
It's going to be great.
Wow.
I mean.
But yeah, we're super happy to be here, and Williams-Sonoma has been an amazing partner.
Yeah.
To have invited us for the second year.
Amazing.
To Charleston. So I'm extremely happy to be here.
So
we're so happy here because we did a whole episode.
Yeah, I think we've dedicated many episodes, like at least in part, to being about that party last year. Where we were just like, what the fuck was that party? That was but it makes me wonder about your personal life. Like, what is your home life like? Is there a lot of luxury in your home life as well? Are these fabricated towers like just in your room?
No, I mean,
do you put your clothes on them later?
I don't know. I mean, you just got to go hard. You got to go big, you know, when you're in Charleston.
It's true.
Especially when Williams-Sonoma wants to throw something big. I just have to partake. So
I want to see Ian do like a kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what's that
the most
gonna
luxury
look like?
Item for a child? Yeah. I don't know. A kid's love.
We are going to have cotton candy this year. But actually, instead of just regular cotton candy flavors,
it's made of money.
We're gonna have we sell this line of gold. Rare French steam extracts from Provence.
What is it?
It's essentially an herb extraction, okay. And it takes 100 pounds of raw herb to make a single little mini vial of this very concentrated dosage of extract. And so we're going to have a lemon verbena cotton candy, and we'll have a wild carrot, and we'll have lavender. And this is the same company that supplies Chanel and Guerlain for all of their perfume. So it's like the purest.
So we're going to eat some Chanel, basically.
It's going to be great.
It sounds amazing.
You know what I like better than wearing Chanel is eating Chanel.
Yeah, I might dab a cotton candy behind my ear. God. You don't know what I do.
I'm gonna put it right.
I like the saying yes to opulence. I like the, yes. You know what? Yes, we're gonna do it.
For
we're
sure.
gonna roll in it. We're gonna just lavish in it and really enjoy it.
We've been talking about it for a year. You know what I mean? Like it's the memory has lasted, right?
It lasts.
Well, there was a moment where we lost Phil, and we were like, "Where is Phil?" And we're eating all this caviar, and we're having such a wonderful time, and we're like, "Where is Phil?" And Phil's like, "Guys, there's a grill back here."
Yeah,
I was hanging out with the A5 wagon.
That's where he was.
Yeah.
And then that's when, like, you and your friends that came down from New York, like, your Agron crew and, like, everybody.
Yeah.
Somebody just took it off the grill with their hand and fed me. And I was like, this is a thing that's happening right now. This is fine, right? I can tell my husband about this. It's fine, honey. Honey, it was fine. It was just Wagyu. It's fine.
Just Wagyu.
But I liked it. And no, I was twirling around having the time of my life.
The luxury, the pure unbridled luxury that is. How did you get into being a purveyor of such fine things?
So I am originally from Houston. And when I was 15, during the recession, my family downsized to rural Arkansas, to Northwest Arkansas. And I was kind of the social outcast in high school and could make no friends. And so I started spending a lot of time with my uncle, who was an archaeologist, and he was big into the outdoors. And so he started showing me how to mushroom forage. And so I became just totally obsessed with foraging for morels and chanterelles and black trumpets. And I had always loved cooking and eating well. And on a visiting trip to Houston, I was fortunate enough to have been invited to dinner by some of our old affluent friends, and we went to this high-end restaurant, and I ordered the black truffle ravioli because truffles are considered the king of all mushrooms, and so I'd always wanted to taste a truffle, and it was a black truffle ravioli with a foie gras sauce, and it was, to this day, the best thing I've ever had, and it was just something about the truffle, like the earthy, like complexity, it was just so strange and different and nothing like I had ever tasted. And so I returned to Arkansas begging my parents to give in to buy me a truffle to replicate this dish. And obviously they were like, no, like, hell no.
Honey, we're in Arkansas. Arkansas.
We're downsizing. So
truffles aren't a part of that plan.
No, definitely not. So for the next 6 months, I just became totally obsessed with truffles and became frantically researching them. I was still 15.
Okay.
I found this French company in Provence on the French version of eBay that was willing to sell me a kilo of black summer truffle. And so I pulled together several years worth of Christmas and birthday savings and bought this kilo of truffle, and they arrived 3 days later by FedEx, and I realized this is actually quite a lot of truffle for a simple, you know, one person meal. And so I decided, why not try to sell some of these truffles to some local restaurants? So being in Arkansas, there's only two or three high-end restaurants, but I stopped by Walmart, since we're in the land of Walmart, and picked up a kitchen scale and an invoice booklet, and my parents drove me to the three restaurants, and I brought them with, you know, in a box and said, you know, I've got these truffles, any interest? And somehow I sold them all, and I had a lot of fun with it, and I just kept reinvesting into larger and larger orders. And then about a year later, I had gotten hired by an Italian truffle company that was based in Umbria looking for someone in the U.S. To kind of consolidate shipments for them and to look for customers that that I could then reship product to. And so I broadened my network and started cold calling different chefs across the U.S.
At like 16?
At 16, yeah.
Wow.
Do you need a license to do that? Were they like,
I was actually using my gym membership card as proof of ID until I could legally drive. And so I would make sales calls in between, you know, physics class, and I would go to the airport after school, and I set up like a shipping center in the garage, and I had a bunch of boxes and ice packs, and I would ship product out. And so after high school, I told my parents, I'm foregoing college for the moment, and I really want to move to New York. And they supported me, and that was huge. At least emotionally, they supported me. And so I moved to New Jersey with the money that I had made my senior year, and the office was established in Newark by this Italian company, actually above a methadone clinic in Newark. And I got beaten up on my third day outside the office.
Oh, my God.
And it was pretty bleak for the next couple of years. And that idyllic New York dream I had envisioned in Arkansas was really completely different than what I had imagined. But yeah, so I was in New York, and after a few years, we had a falling out, me and the Italians, and
all of them.
Every last one of them.
I kind of boiled down. I was being paid on commission only, and I got to a point where they weren't paying me my commission, and I asked them, like, what's the situation? And
can
and
you
they
afford
were,
to pay these monies?
Well, they were hurt because they were like, in Italy, like, we pay our employees far less than this in Italy.
Why would we pay
a 19-year-old the same amount of money? And I was like, I'm doing all these sales for you guys. And anyway, so I left and I found investors that were willing to, jump in and finance the company. And they too ended up being douchebags. And so 2 years later.
A series of douchebags.
Basically, story of my life. So 2 years later, I bought them out. And 6 years later, that's, I guess, where I am today.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And the truffle business is really fun to watch them be like delivered and shipped. I worked at Per Se in New York for five years. And just watching them come in, it's always like a really like, really fancy drug deal that
it
happens.
It's the fancy drug deal.
You know, they bring
deal.
Them yes. in, and it's just such a fun. There's so much pomp and circumstance with the
sure.
whole thing.
Sure, I mean, but truffles, it's been interesting because they've started out as such a hot, boutique, niche industry, and now it's almost like they become a commodity industry because there's so many competitors that are selling truffles, and so we've really had to broaden our portfolio of product to really focus on the rare and unusual. So truffles are still a main item for us, but they're just a small facet in what we do. Our main items are truffles, caviar, wild mushrooms, and live exotic seafoods. So we carry lots of different live crustaceans from Japan and mainly California as well. We actually like to focus on species that are undervalued, bycatch species in the crustacean world.
Which is great,
And so we're actually able to sell rare varieties of crab to chefs in California because they themselves have never seen some of the species that they were able to
that are just there
procure.
Already. This happens a lot in Charleston with fish where we're having, in the name of sustainability, you're having to sort of focus. And that was my next question about luxury items. Like the other side of that coin is the people like, how sustainable is something like this? But that's amazing that you're reaching
out.
Yeah,
so we have a pretty strong relationship with NOAA and Fish and Wildlife to create fisheries for some of these unique varieties of crab, box crab in particular.
What's a box crab?
It's related to the hairy crab that's primarily sold in Japan, and we get about 200 pounds a week. And a lot of it gets exported actually to Europe. But there's so many species that are just really unique and amazing that we try to highlight and create a market for. And a lot of the food that we do sell is considered luxury, but at the same time, we carry a lot of just hard to find product. We work with a fruit geneticist in Florida where we're able to access 200 varieties of mango, 50 varieties of different banana. I mean, so it's not just expensive things, it's just rare and unusual.
Are you guys at all like thinking about the next thing?
Of course, we're always trying to figure out what the next niche is, what the next item is. I mean, we follow the San Pellegrino list obsessively every single year because I feel like that really dictates or has a big part into what the next trend is.
Yeah,
I mean, you had
research.
The success of El Bulli back in the day with molecular gastronomy, and then you had farm to table with Dan Barber, and then you started going into like more foraging with the success of Noma, and that's really when we first started. And so we were pretty much the only company that could provide the long list of wild foraged herbs and
wild edibles. I worked at Noma briefly, and that was a thing that I was introduced to so many things I'd never even seen that I didn't know existed on the earth, and certainly didn't know they were edible.
Sure.
And there, Renee's amazing at that.
Yeah, totally.
At being like, let's just try to eat it.
Sure.
let's just eat it. Maybe we can't eat it raw. And like, he's so incredible.
Yeah, I mean, he's a mastermind.
Are truffles like certain types of wine, or in the sense of like...
They're very terroir based.
Like the production on Earth is not enough, or is it enough? You know what
I mean? It's not enough. I mean, truffles are almost exclusively all wild still. They've never successfully cultivated white truffles ever. Black truffles, they've been able to cultivate on a small scale. But it's very terroir based. Like a white truffle in northern Italy tastes different than a white truffle in southern Italy. There's a lot of like malpractice with the selling of these specialty ingredients that I've also trying to educate chefs on.
A lot of fraud.
I mean, a lot of white truffles don't even come from Italy anymore. They come from Eastern Europe, and then they're brought over and sold as Italian product. And the same
like olive oil or something.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
How do you spot a fraud?
I mean, it's hard. I'm able to actually identify a white truffle from 6 different regions. Just based on color and subtle aroma, I'm a sommelier of truffles. Exactly, but I would say that my favorite regions for white truffles are obviously northern Italy, like Piemonte, but also Serbia and Hungary.
Cool!
Of Serbia and Hungary have really amazing white truffles.
Awesome.
Whereas when you go to Romania, the quality starts to decline. And then with black truffles, the main production comes from Spain now, and then they're brought over to France and sold as Provençal product.
Yeah.
You know, they stick an old lady in there and the pig.
Bonjour.
Exactly.
Bonjour.
It has the je ne sais quoi. Yes.
Yes.
It's a really exciting industry to be in. I get to meet an amazing array of chefs, and obviously there's no shortage of great food.
There's beauty everywhere. And actually, I have an idea.
What is it?
I have a projection. I have a projection for a future food trench because I'm thinking about the San Pellegrino list, Michelin star, and we're taking all these things. So I'm thinking more of like the old school, almost like foraging in something like Walmart. So how I've been eating sardines my whole life because I grew up really poor. So, but now like tin fish, everybody's like, but tin fish is awesome.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And my grandmother used to make something for Christmas. It was like just called Christmas eggs.
Christmas eggs, baby.
So Christmas eggs, but nothing ever tasted like Christmas eggs. And I couldn't figure out why.
What are Christmas eggs?
Honey, it's, no, for real, guys.
Good question.
I know. Great question. No, it was canned pig brains.
Oh.
Whoa. Canned pig brains. They sell them all over grocery stores in the South, and it's just like pickled pig's feet and all of
that. Great on a saltine.
Called them Christmas eggs?
No, she would cook, she'd make scrambled eggs, and she'd put the canned pig's brains and eggs. But that Christmas egg sounds better, right?
Christmas egg sounds
better. But that sounds like a very classic French dish.
Exactly. Well, as are most things that it's classic French because it's very rustic and you just use what you have. So in the South, same thing, like just very rustic, otherwise known as poor. But guess what doesn't go bad? Canned pig brains. But that's why I'm thinking of like the foraging within like the things that we already have, how you're going back to sustainability and like small fish, the sardines, and how everybody's going crazy about that right now.
Sure.
Just like all of these exotic tin fish.
Sure.
So I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, 11 Madison Park is at number one, and their whole, mantra is kind of like, luxury.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's an ode to old luxury.
I feel
like that is kind of the current trend.
Oh my God, with everything in New York right now? Yeah.
Places like the grill.
The grill, that's what I'm trying to
think about. Yeah, and just making luxury a little bit more accessible to a younger generation. I mean, a lot of these ingredients, I feel like, were only found at white tablecloth, super bourgeois restaurants. And now you can find them at a whole new wave of restaurants. And
absolutely,
that's what's really exciting.
But I'm into it. I like we're not forgetting the opulence. I like to bring back pomp and circumstance. You know, for a while everybody was like, no, we would never be so wasteful. We would never be so absurd to think that, but you've got to have a balance. There has to be all of it. And you're right, bringing it to a younger generation. Cause I only remember those super fancy like lobster thermidors and those moments from grandparents and like going out to dinner and having coffee at the end or something.
Yeah. Now at like a pop-up, you can see some guy shaving truffles
on a pizza.
It's cool.
Which is great.
But it's also, I think it makes my job difficult.
Yeah, because it goes against the exact thing. It's like, it's not rare anymore if everyone has them. So right. this is the conundrum.
We are going to have lobster thermidor tonight, but it'll be a 13-pound spiny lobster thermidor.
I'm so happy. No, that kind of
live just, thermidor.
What? It just makes my heart explode.
I cannot wait.
I mean, like I said, I took a lot of the caviar I've been wearing as a face mask every night since last year, which is why I'm
it's
so
really
blurry.
Good for your pores.
But like we said, everybody's been talking about it. I just can't believe you guys are doing it again. And I believe you. I think it's going to be magical.
Yeah, we're pumped. No, we are pumped. And actually, we're going to go to commercial break and then
oh
we come
my
back.
God.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Commercial!
Are you always on the search for really rare things?
Absolutely. Everything,
can't ever find them.
Everything's so pedestrian. I can't find anything that I want.
It's really hard, and I'm running out of places to look.
I've looked under every pile of money I've seen.
Yeah, and I just can't find the rarest thing. Well, I have a new locator for you.
What is it, Liz?
It basically locates really like things that hide in plain sight. You know, like those rings that that happen when you put it on the outside of the cans. You know what I'm talking about?
Totally.
Sometimes when they're buried in beach sand, they get kind of almost like rubbed like a diamond.
Ooh.
Until they get turned into this really fine bone china and people are making it into coasters. They're wine coasters.
Nice.
And it's amazing. Things like that. It just like pops up on your screen.
So Plain Sight Luxury App?
Plain Sight Luxury App. It finds really rare, extremely hard to find things for you that
right
nobody's
in
ever
front
heard
of. You.
Right.
Exactly.
So like in your own backyard even. It's like, oh, is this an old, what are those things called? Trolls? They got kind of sat there. You remember the dolls with the fluffy
hair?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
So like you bury one of those under like a construction site and then dig it up later and it's really, really valuable.
It's really, really valuable. So it's just like those ridiculous things my grandma collected, but now they're worth thousands.
Exactly.
Luxury in plain sight.
Luxury in plain sight. It really, really helps things kind of keep moving so it doesn't get stuck on things like lobster. You know what I'm talking about. Aren't you sick of that? Spiny lobster's the new thing. Duh.
Duh. Duh.
Get with me.
Yes.
No, hide in plain sight. Wait, what's it called?
I don't know. Luxury in plain sight?
Luxury in plain sight. And if you want to put your luxury in plain sight on a commercial, you just email us at fnbradio@gmail.com. That's EFFINBRADIO@gmail.com to put your luxury in plain sight on our
commercial.
And we're back.
Hi there.
Ian. It's so nice of you to come see us.
Thank you again for having me.
Oh my God.
It was wonderful.
Pleasure.
We can't wait to see you tonight.
Yeah, we're
going to
have a party.
So forward to it.
Now, this is my last question. What do you get the boy that has everything? What is something that you want that you don't have?
A bed. A nice pillow. Yes.
Well, you'll have that at the Dewberry.
Yes.
But I'm, you know.
Well, we'll be there. I'm filming a rap video tonight. I don't know if you guys were aware. I'm getting full. I'm filling myself to the Instagram tonight. And I cannot wait.
We cannot wait to see you at the party. Thank you so
Can't
much
wait.
For being on the show.
Oh my God.
Thank you again.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming. We know you're really busy, so we're going to get you out of here.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.